Are you tired of the cookie-cutter approach to education that's stuck in the last century? Are you seeking a win-win situation where your family thrives, your kids' education is revolutionary, and you still get to chase your own dreams? Welcome to Unschooled Unleashed. Unlock your child's genius. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, an unapologetic rebel dad and promoter of what many consider to be educational anarchy. You know the world isn't going to be won by those that just toe the line. It's the innovators, the visionaries, and the resilient spirits that are going to thrive. Our mission here is to forge those world changers within our very homes with less stress, energy, and time. Unschooled Unleashed starts now. Welcome back to another terrific episode of Unschooled Unleashed. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, and today we're going to talk about learning history the easy way. I'm going to make an argument for using documentaries. I'm going to discuss strategies to get your kids interested in these documentaries, and specifically in the context of history. And then I'm going to make an argument that textbooks still have a role, but not as the primary source. And I'll give my rationale for that. So hopefully you enjoy this. And with that, let's dive in. Today we're diving into really how to teach history in an easy way. At least it's easier for me. I'm just going to kind of pass on some lessons of how I'm teaching history to my kids. And really, this is kind of something more new that we're doing. So my kids are 10, 8, and 5 currently. And they piqued some interest in history. So now we're diving in, because that's what we do as unschoolers, is we find, at least intentional unschoolers, we find what they're interested in, and then we do a deep dive. So World War II came up, and that's what we're learning. So I'm going to tell you how I'm doing it, at least currently, and hopefully it's of some value to you. Now, first, let's talk about why we even need to teach history. I think that learning history is crucial because it provides context for the present and guidance for the future. It's maybe what you call perspective. It gives you perspective. You get an understanding of the world, and I think that's important. The children is get an understanding of the world, why things are the way they are, and seeing maybe some things that are, asynchronies in the world and why we have those. You know, sometimes it's because of the history, right? And understanding that is really good. I know my son, when I asked him, I'm like, why are you so interested in World War II? He said, because when you learn what happened in the past, we can learn from that past and we can make different decisions for the future. And I thought that was the best answer I'd ever heard. I don't know if I mentioned that to him or if he got that from someone else. If he came up with that himself, that's pretty deep for a 10-year-old. But I thought that was a great reason. So, let's see, moving on. I'm going to make a case that, and this is going to be very, I just get the feeling it might be controversial. Let's talk about documentaries, right? As a main way of learning history. Using documentaries as a main way of learning history. Documentaries have undergone a transformation from being rare and often, in my opinion, poorly produced, to becoming widely available with high production value. You can really find a lot of documentaries on really almost any topic, as long as they're truthful. You got to look at the source and make sure it's not motivated by some kind of agenda. You just want, you know, historical facts, right? Reflecting on past limitations about documentaries. back when I was a kid, let's say, they were really hard to come by and rely on as a source for learning any kind of history. Now, of course, there were the big things, like you could always find the Civil War, you could even find World War II and all that stuff. But now you can find a documentary on like the intricacies between like just different battles in World War II or the Civil War, that kind of thing. And I think that's important to note. There's been a proliferation of documentary content that's really removed a lot of constraints, offering a lot of possibilities. And I think that it's a lot more engaging. I think back to when I was a kid, and if I were to try and, you know, if my parents were to try and use this approach of using documentaries to teach me history, I think it still would have been a good approach for the main concepts, right? In fact, I could still even hear an argument for it back then, meaning like, hey, we're going to cover the Civil War, and we're going to cover World War One, World War Two. We're going to cover, you know, and I'm just covering wars because that's kind of what we're in right now. But you could really look at anything, you know, world history, Napoleon. We could look at Rome. We could look at all these different eras. Greeks, going back even further. We could look at all these different eras, and there was a documentary about it. But one of the limitations we had when I was a kid was you had to turn on the TV at a certain time to catch the documentary that happened to be playing. It was not on demand. We did have VHS when I was a kid, which were our tapes that you could put in a VCR and watch at any time. But you had to find those, and usually you had to buy those because they weren't necessarily readily available at the Blockbuster or the video store, because you had to go to a store and get these tapes and then bring them back and then play them. Now, you could do that stuff. So it was for the first time available in my generation, but it wasn't widely available, not like it is today. And it was often really, really, really expensive to do it that way. But we don't have those limitations now. And there's a deeper point I'm trying to make here that I don't think I'm doing a very good job at. It's that if we, you know, when I say using documentaries, and I kind of get that little part of me that kind of cringes and says, no, you should rely on a textbook for that. I think the reason comes because there's something's going to be missed. I think something's going to be missed. And when I think about like, well, we got to cover our bases, you know, I start to go back into the whole schooling thing, you know, and as an unschooler, I cringe at that too. Yeah, something's going to be missed. I go, well, wait a minute. If we only cover the big things, isn't that what covering your bases is? Isn't that what checking all those boxes is, of making sure we're exposing them to the big events? Well, we got documentaries on all the big events, and they would actually probably be more well retained, because that's one of the big ways people learn is visual and audio combined with the documentary. So that leads me to my next topic, my next point, which is documentaries offer visual learning and engagement. There's a significant portion of learners who benefit from the visual information. It makes it more real. Documentaries cater to this need by making historical events vivid and memorable. They also use compelling storytelling that you often don't find just by getting the facts. They kind of put it together as a story to engage learners, making it an ideal tool to provide history education, in my opinion. I think that there's that misconception that documentaries are just entertainment and can't have educational value as well. And I think that's debunked by the quality and diversity of content that's out there. At least from my, you know, if you do a quick search, you're going to be able to find documentary on pretty much everything. The reason I'm making this episode is because we just went through, we're almost done with the World War II documentary. I mentioned it in the past episode. And my kids are like aces with understanding the history of World War II, anything they covered so far anyway. And I'm just so impressed compared to, I didn't know any of this when I was a kid and we covered World War II. And I'm just going, well, why is that? Well, this is why. It's engaging. It speaks to you. It's put in stories. It's memorable. You get to see it. You see the visuals in your head of like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, what Blitzkrieg looks like when the planes are flying through and the, you know, Germans are, the Nazis are going through in their tanks and, you know, the town's destroyed and stuff like that. You remember that and you know what Blitzkrieg is then. And then you can talk about it intelligently. I think my kids are going to remember everything about World War II. Yeah, it's actually quite incredible. So it's convinced me that this is a very valuable tool in teaching history. Moving on, we need to address maybe some of the critiques. We need to embrace flexibility with this, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. When we're using documentaries as the main source for teaching history, because that's what I'm arguing. It's the easy way. So there's an argument that relying on documentaries for education is limiting, similar to at least the best analogy that I can make is when my math teachers used to say, I'm sitting there learning how to write out math and do it by hand. And I would say, why can't I just use a calculator? And they go, well, what are you going to do? Rely on a calculator for the rest of your life? You're going to have one in your pocket? And I don't think documentaries are going away, and there's already enough content out there to be able to teach a lot of history, all the big things. So yeah, I think that argument of saying, what are you just going to always rely on documentaries to teach history? And it's like, I think we can say that if you're going to just do an overview, yeah, I think we can do that. I think I feel comfortable. I don't even need to learn the hand math anymore, with my analogy. I could just learn how to use it on my calculator because that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to learn it. Now, I just want to say that I'm teaching my kids how to do handwritten math because I think there's still value in it. And I think there's still value in a textbook. And I'll get to that in one of my next points. But yeah, I think I'm going to use this as my main teaching point because I think it's valuable. There's enough out there. I think there's also false assumptions behind that the critique that documentaries cannot fully cover the necessary educational content because I believe there's enough subcategories of documentaries that you can really do a deep dive into it. Now, there's still holes out there, but I mean, in general, again, we're just talking about covering our bases with history. Documentaries are the way to go, in my opinion. I think that you don't need to go into a deep dive in anything to cover your bases. By definition, we're doing a broad overview to cover our bases, at least with history. There's just so much out there, and more stuff being created every day. I won't belabor that anymore. I'll move on to my next point. Now I'm going to make an argument that documentaries are superior to learning in a textbook in a couple ways. One, well, let me reframe this. If your goal is to get kids interested in history, then documentaries is the way to go. And you can amplify that interest by adopting certain strategies. Okay, and I'm going to cover that now. So one, connect the history to personal and local histories. I think that makes it a little bit more relevant, a little bit more tangible to the kids. Making history relatable by connecting to personal family stories, maybe your town, maybe your city, maybe down the street, that kind of thing, your state, your country, anything. Talking about that kind of stuff really helps. I know that when I was talking about Pearl Harbor, because we kind of do a recap with documentaries and say what's happened to date, all the significant events, how it's relatable, all the notable stuff, getting used to names, that repetition really helps. Names of things like Blitzkrieg, like the leaders in World War II. We were diving into Pearl Harbor in America during the war, and it talked about the America's industrial might, and the kids attached to that. And I know why, because my city, the city I live in, Cleveland, played a significant role in the industry that gave America its industrial might back in World War II. We've been to different things like big hangars that they converted into something else, that they used to have factories that built bombers for World War II. And we've seen pictures of that. We pull out pictures of our family and say, this is a person who served in World War II on a battleship. This is a person who was in the army that you're related to, your grandfather's. And we make it locally engaging as well as like, this is a part of your family history too. This is history. This is your history as well. So I think that's engaging. We also use engaging visuals and interactivity. So, you know, this goes beyond documentaries, but it involves documentaries. We used, this is kind of crazy to me. This is how this all came up, is I allowed my son to play a video game that he's fighting in World War II. And he started asking questions about World War II. And I started telling him about the history. And then he's like, you know, I want to know more about that. I said, do you want to watch a documentary? Yes. Sparked interest. The video game sparked interest. I can't believe that happened. We got it. Video games did something fantastic. And that created this deep dive into it. So there can be other things. There can be, we're doing trivia right now. We just downloaded an app that does World War II history trivia, and that's engaging to my son. We haven't done too much with it, but we just downloaded it last night. He seems to be very interested, so he can kind of check himself. And I think that's kind of cool. So there's different ways to engage with it as far as like the interconnectivity to it. I was looking for like a trivia game that I could buy, but I didn't find anything right off the top of my head or like on the first Google search. So we went with the app. Next way we can get kids interested in history using documentaries and other resources, or just like garnering general interest so we can use these documentaries, is encourage critical thinking and ethical discussions. When we talk about history, I think it's we should frame historical events in light of ethical and moral. How do I say it? Use historical events as a basis for ethical and moral discussions. That's how I'll say it. We encourage children to think critically about the past and its impact on the world today. We can do this at dinner. We could talk about the moral dilemma of certain things. For example, we talked about in World War II, the Dresden area bombings on Germany that the Allied forces did that killed tens of thousands of civilians, almost as its main goal, it seems, to demoralize the German population to end World War II. Was it justified to kill up to 25,000 civilians? And these are the questions we're asking. Well, but right before that time, they called up every German citizen. You know, I asked these questions to my kids. Right before that time, when they say, no, we should never bomb the citizens, I said, well, right before that, they, I can't remember what Nazi leader, but he called all German citizens to rise up, and now everyone's a soldier. Does that change your perspective? What if it was one person? Should one person die in the name of ending World War II? That's a civilian. What about 100? What about 1,000? What about 10,000? Asking these questions, is there a limit? Really gets some thinking. And I think that critical thinking is really the reason we should learn history, is to generate those kinds of discussions and learn from our past. Think critically about the past. I'll stop there with that. Another way to get kids interested using documentaries and strategies to help them get interested to use documentaries is implement strategic screen time. What we do is we use mornings for creative play, afternoon for individual pursuits, and late afternoon for learning history currently through documentaries. So we kind of close out the lights. So they're playing around in the morning, building that creativity, which is one of my main goals. Then they kind of get into their own thing later morning, early afternoon, somewhere around there. So they're playing with their whatever, building whatever. Maybe they're playing a game too, who knows. And then the late afternoon when we're starting to get a little bit like, we're tired, we spent a lot of energy, we moved around a lot. Let's sit down and watch this thing, you know, this documentary. I think that strategically is the best time, at least for our family. Take it for what it's worth. I mentioned it earlier. Another strategy we use in conjunction with documentaries as we before every episode, and we did a series. We do a recap and review to enhance retention. I think there's value in repetition. I think there's, but you have to watch it. It should not be laborious. It should be fun. It should be fun learning, right? Fun remember, trying to remember stuff. So we make it kind of a, not a game or anything like that, but and very engaging. All right, so who can tell me what started World War II? All right, what led up to that? Okay, what happened? Who was the first country invaded? You know, asking these kinds of questions, they get very familiar with the material. They get very familiar with the names. They can quote the years that things happen, all that stuff. And if someone makes an interesting point and says, oh, we forgot about that, it's like, oh, great. And it's very, very engaging. Even my five-year-old's diving into this. And I will say that, you know, we do cover some hard topics, but it's... I try and make sure that our discussions are generally five-year-old appropriate for those that might be worried. And I keep the other discussions for my older kids, if age appropriate for them, of course, too. But there are some hard things that some hard realities we really need to accept. So I definitely get them thinking about it, and they think, well, why would someone ever do this to someone else? And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, these are good questions to ask. And I think that me walking them through that is better than the world walking them through that, because they will eventually get exposed to this stuff. It's just a hard part of life. I specifically do the review, by the way, before the documentary, because they're all amped up about it and they're excited. And if you do it afterwards, they might not be motivated. And I try and cut it off and not do any more than they would be interested in. If they're starting to play around, I just shut it off. This is a time where we're focusing in on this. If they want to play, we're going to do it some other time. We might not even do it if they're going to play at all. Not trying to be strict, but this is a time for learning. We also encourage exploration beyond the screen, you know, the documentary screen. And this is where we've provided those apps. We've provided some engaging conversations to take them to the library, that kind of stuff, even a textbook, and I'll talk more about that later. Also, we have them, I don't want to say do like a living book report, because that's not what it is, but it's the best example I can think of. They get up and they talk about what they've learned. You know, my wife gets home and they say, Mommy, guess what I learned today? And they give like this nice little report on what they learned, which is kind of cool. They do that with relatives. They do that with, I don't know who else they do it with. That's all I've seen. So they might do it with their friends. I hope they do it with their friends so they learn too. But the kids are kind of showing off their knowledge and skills. And I think that only, they love feeling like they've learned something, they've done something, and celebrating their learning, I think, is something worth doing. Next big topic. So those were some of the strategies that we use to help them engage with the documentaries and us get them interested in those documentaries. Let's move on to how to move beyond documentaries to learn history. And again, we're talking about learning history the easy way. So if you accept the premise that there are documentaries that give you a broad overview of everything that's happened, for the most part, that you would want to cover in the world's history, you may make the argument that it's not enough to learn everything. Like, you're not going to get your PhD by watching documentaries. And I totally agree with that. We're not trying to create people who are working on PhDs. We're literally exposing children to history. And if they want to do a deep dive and work on that PhD, they can, but they're going to need a textbook. Because in 2024, the textbook still has all the information, and you can search for it, and you can jump straight there, and you can look up the names, you can look up dates very easily. I don't think documentaries replace textbooks in this way. However, the world is quickly changing with video streaming services and YouTube, stuff like that, similar, you know, apps that have access to overviews on everything in short little clips. So the world is changing on that. However, we're not there yet. I think a textbook still is the way to go. So it can provide a deeper analysis and a lot of details that really the documentary can't do it. And if you think about it, documentaries can only go on for so long. You know, an hour, let's say 10 episodes, that's 10 hours of learning. You're not going to be able to know everything about that topic in 10 hours. So unless you're willing to watch like 100, 2,000 hour documentary or whatever you need to become an expert, I just don't think there's enough content out there. You're going to need to get in the textbook. But I think that the textbook is a supplementary tool to a documentary, if that makes sense, at least what the way I'm teaching my children. That's my current strategy. Get them interested, give them a good understanding that they can retain. And then if they want to know more, they go back and they learn about it. I know my son, for example, who's really into World War II, he's the 10-year-old who just got the textbook. He is paying attention to the battles that they're, or the operations that they're fighting, or not fighting, that the operations that are happening within the war. So he can go reference them and go back and read more about them, because he can do that with the textbook. So that's how he's using it. He's not going to read through the whole thing. He just wants to finger through it, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. He already understands World War II, probably the most high school graduates. Let's see, any other points I want to cover on this? Yeah, I think just it's a supplementary in my world right now. And I think it just enriches the learning experience. That's how I'm using textbooks. I do think I want to have a house full of textbooks so they can do that kind of stuff. But, you know, not, of course, forced at all. Documentaries, overview, textbooks, deep dive. Once you're out of documentaries, or they've lost interest in the documentaries that are available. We also have, next topic is strategic selection of documentaries. We choose the documentaries very carefully to make sure they're accurate and comprehensive in whatever topic we're looking for of those historical events. And I think that's crucial because there's a lot of stuff out there with an agenda. I try and stay away from that. And in fact, you know what? If I'm going to present something with an agenda, which I'm not opposed to doing, I'm also going to want to put up an opposing view on it, the opposite view, okay? The reason for that is because I'm trying to create critical thinkers. I don't want them to just know history, which you can Google, right? I want to expose them to it, have a general understanding of it, and be able to think critically about it so that way they can use that for the future, right? Because if we learn from the past, we can affect our future. We certainly at this age, or our family's age, you know, 10, 8, and 5, have a lot more ability to direct the learning. So we are careful with the documentaries we show them, and we're meaning we're very selective. So we only give them what aligns with our educational goals. And I have a whole episode on my goals for education. So look that up if you'd like to hear more about it. It's fun for me to be able to do this because I get to relearn history, and I basically forget a lot. You know, I might have learned it at some point, but I get to relive it. I get to learn about it, and I think that's really cool. Let's see. Do I have time for more? I'm going to try and cover this last topic really quick. Encouraging further exploration and critical thinking. So we use documentaries as a springboard for further research, discussions, projects, and encouraging children to explore beyond what is presented on the screen. We highlight how documentaries can spark that curiosity and motivate them to seek out more information on their own. Okay, so we direct them to, hey, you want to know more about this? Well, you got to get this textbook. You got to start doing some research, start asking around, you know, stuff, that kind of stuff. I think that the dinner table conversation certainly helps with that as well, because I'm the one asking these interesting questions about, you know, how far is too far with war? Is Hitler justified in some ways? Like, which is a hard, hard question to answer. You don't want to answer this. You know, did the Allies do something wrong? We in the war, in the heat of the moment, my goodness, you know, you want to say everything that the Allies did was justified to fight Nazis. Maybe it wasn't. You know, critical thinking, I think, is the big value out of this. At least one of the big values. So, at this stage in the game for us, that's where we're at. I think that there's further opportunities to start to write, I don't want to say book reports because they're not book reports, but like kind of just write out an overview and present it to people. I think there's some opportunity to do that, do projects based on it, in so many ways. I'll end there. Just to recap, the purpose of this episode was to give you the ability to teach history the easy way. Okay. And I believe that is, if our goal is to get a broad exposure of history, there's enough documentaries out there to be able to do that. If you want more information beyond that, you use a textbook. We use documentaries because they're very engaging and they're able to retain a lot using those documentaries. And you can still get more information by diving into a textbook as supplementary information and material. In addition, I gave you strategies that help with garnering interest and engagement. And hopefully you're able to, by the end of this episode, have a plan in your own head to be able to teach history in an easy, low-pressure, fun way that engages not just the children, but the entire family for discussions and learning. So if you've got any value out of this, I ask that you please give us a rating and review. It really helps us spread the word. And continue to reach out. I really appreciate you guys listening. I mean, just to me, talk about what I'm doing with my kids and my thoughts. So I'm very humbled because I'm just a regular guy teaching my kids as best I can, giving them minimum education. I shouldn't even say teaching, just walking alongside them. So with that, I'm going to end this episode. Stay curious, stay in school, and stay away from the algebra nightmares. I'll catch you in the next episode. So here's where we roll up our sleeves and bring out the big guns. If you support our mission, then please leave a review. On Unschooled Unleashed, we are talking about using a radical approach to education in today's world, and the more 5-star reviews we have, the more people will feel comfortable with the ideas, strategies, and principles we discuss. It gives legitimacy to our message, and the podcast's algorithm prioritizes us so we can reach more people. You may even have your 5-star review read on our podcast. Before I let you go, I have to pause and say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Your presence here is the fuel that ignites this movement. I am incredibly moved that you trust in us enough to click play. You, my friends, are the caped heroes in this story, the guardians of your family's learning journey, and a beacon of hope for your community. Be bold. Do what you think is best for you and your family. Thanks again for tuning in and taking this courageously outside of the box for this educational revolution. Welcome to the front line.